Morning Watch, an overview of the central burden and present truth of the Lord's recovery before his appearing, week 3. God building himself in Christ into our being. Friday, related verses. 2 Samuel 7, 1-5, 11-14. And as the king dwelt in his house, and Jehovah gave him rest all around from all his enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "All that is in your heart go and do, for Jehovah is with you." And in that night the word of Jehovah came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to my servant David, thus says Jehovah, is it you who will build me a house for me to dwell in? Even since the time when I commanded that there be judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Jehovah declares to you that Jehovah will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will strike him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the Son of Men." Romans 1:3-4. Concerning his Son, who came out of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Related reading. In 2 Samuel 7:12, God spoke of David's seed, and in verse 14a, he said, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." These verses clearly unveil that a seed of man, that is, a son of man, can become the Son of God. This implies that God's intention is to make himself man in order to make man God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. Such an implication is exceedingly great. The New Jerusalem, the ultimate consummation of the Bible, involves God becoming man and man becoming God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead, and God and man being mingled together to be one entity. The Bible reveals a wonderful, marvelous person, Jesus Christ, the God-man. This one is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. On one occasion, when the Pharisees were gathered together, the Lord Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think concerning the Christ? Whose son is he?" When they said to him, "David's," he went on to say to them, "How then does David in spirit call him Lord? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" The Pharisees could not understand this, and they were not able to answer him. Here the Lord Jesus was indicating that he, the Son of David, was the Son of God, the very matter revealed in 2 Samuel 7:12-14a. What is revealed in 2 Samuel 7 is expounded by Paul in Romans 1:3-4, where he tells us that Christ, a descendant of David, has been designated the Son of God. This is the mystery of God becoming man to make man God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. In Christ, God has been constituted into man. Man has been constituted into God. And God and man have been mingled together to be one entity, which is called the God-man. God in Christ is constituting himself into man, making himself the element of man. Thus, we human beings are constituted with a divine element. This means that a divine element is built into our human element, and the two elements are mingled with each other. Not only is God's divine element constituted into us, the human element is constituted into God. As the divine element is constituted into our humanity, we become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. As the human element is constituted into God, God becomes man. This is the building revealed in the New Testament. Such a revelation should become a principle that governs our understanding of God and of God's building. When we talk about the building up of the church or about the building up of the body, we need to realize that this building is the constitution of the divine element into the human element, and of the human element into the divine element. This building, therefore, is the constitution of the divine element and of the human element into each other. Such a constitution makes the divine element and the human element one entity. This is the building of the church, the building of the body of Christ. As we work for God today, we should participate in this building. This means that our work must be part of this mutual constitution. If our work is not related to this mutual constitution, then in the eyes of God, our work is like wood, grass, and stubble. But if our work is a part of this mutual constitution, God will regard our work as gold, silver, and precious stones, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem, built with gold, pearl, and precious stones.